So does this thing, is this intravenous from somewhere? So a closure operator, do you have it? Perhaps do you have it somewhere?
Yeah, I know several examples from mathematics, and we also treated them in a formal manner in the lattice theory lecture.
Okay.
And I think this semester there's also a lattice theory lecture.
But they don't say that it's a moment.
No.
Do they? Okay.
And so, part. Okay, so we have these. So we have these three properties, which were that. Was it x below tx? And we have to verify that this yields a monad. And the central observation is basically that if I have a post set as a category, then between every two objects there is at most one morphism. So every diagram I can draw in that category will automatically commute. So basically the only thing you have to prove for this exercise is that all the morphisms that you need for the diagrams do in fact exist. And existence of a morphism is precisely that there is a
Well, we needed, so this, so I thought about it, and
basically just states that T is an Hendel functor.
Yes, but that must be provable from the previous monads. Because if you show that it's a monad is an Hendel functor. Ah, right, okay. But that you didn't say. So if you take this definition with nu and mu, then you need to argue that to check that it's an Hendel functor, because for the Weissel definition you just say that T is objects and objects, and for this definition you say that it's a functor with these natural transformations. So yes, you need the third one because T must be a functor. Yeah, okay, so we need all these reactions. Alright. Then let's do the before step.
So in this case, more wasn't a finite distribution over the set. First off, beta is basically, it should be zero for all elements except for one. In this case, it should be one. So.
So, in the second, I would be careful with this package because So f takes two arguments, one and then the second, and not a peer, right? So this is just a typing, typing thing. So what sort of what it expresses? So we take as p and right. So could you indicate the types of this because I couldn't read it? So the type of P and the type of F. Isn't it 0-1?
Again?
Isn't it 0-1? The 0-1 is
0-1. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes, okay, so this types. And we sort of quantify our access because basically for every x we find out the probability of getting to x, and then from that x we get to y by f. So we multiply probability of getting to x with probability of getting to y and find the sum of all this, right?
Yeah.
So is it clear? Right.
So now we have to prove the models.
So mind you, it's very similar to what we do in with the power set monad. So except that in power set monad we don't take interval, we just take 0-1, and then the principle is the same. We just calculate if we enter the set, check it with 0 and 1, and then if we then use the calculation which needs for.
I'm not sure why I gave Bartels strange names in my solution, but that's how it is. So I will continue here.
Yes. So here again the same with the brackets.
And then since the x is also in y, it's x is of type y,
So there is only exactly one x in Y. There are no other types that are equal to x, there are no other values. So this is only true for
Y prime equal x.
Again. Yes. So we can basically just we can now remove the sum and then we get
yes. Yeah. Let's eat on this conversion.
Right, so this is identity. So you want to prove.
And be sure to use it.
Sorry?
Be sure to use it.
Ah, right.
So we can replace P by this thing. So this will be number one. Yeah, this is somewhat strange, right?
Yeah,
because p takes one argument only, and that p takes two arguments.
But one, if this is composition, right, it's not a decay result. If I were to reduce it, I
would have a slide
here, and max here.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, that's an immediate one down that x outside.
Yes. Thank you. Again, we have the same case here with this x, only value is being equal only if x and x prime are the same. So we write
so I think it might have been easier to see if you don't use this lambda and just prove something like f eta x something like this f x y. So there would be less numbers, etc. Because we have got this f, but when it's true if and only if we can apply it to some x on both sides. So you can work from composition to application, and then you can add one more y like this, and proving this is equivalent to prove the original statement, but you get rid of all this numbers, etc. Should we try it here, then, maybe, to apply it to an argument? So that the functions we should expect an argument, and then it's... Yes, and the result is, again, a function we should expect another argument. Right, so and then you can directly use the definition for the star. So there is no lambda anymore because y is replaced by z. And it would be more explicit with the multiplication because now there are lots of brackets. Yes. Okay. And now we can call this.
Again, next one, the definition of star.
Yeah, so one can vary the brackets here because we've got f star g applied to y. It means the same as f star applied to g of y, right? So maybe let's do this step first for clarity.
I think the only thing I did now was to pull the P of Y into this inner sum, and then I started from the other side, and
yeah,
basically I did the same. It's also quite a GP in that quite a lot. Because again, we have composition applied to P, so it means F star applied to G or star. Yeah, so this is a date. No, you can see.
Okay. See, this was it, right?
Hmm?
This was all right.
Yes.
This is okay.
Okay.
Questions?
let's then do the define in the certain way. Das steckt hier. Da hat es festgekabelt. Geht es gerade hin, es geht um die Wand.
Einfach ziehen und wieder rein.
Und dann. Ist der Computer 1? Weiß ich nicht. Das nicht, aber scheiß Bild, wo ich noch mal wieder ausziehe, warte mal, weil ich so gestartet. Was ist wie fest? Weil wir nichts mal starten.
Which Linux is that? Which Linux is that?
That's actually the E3 window manager for E3.
No, I don't want to use this
tradition.
Arch
Linux.
Arch. Okay, Arch is the last thing you know.
Task was to use this tree type which we have.
trivial to implement a find cost function which randomly walks down the tree until it finds a leaf and returns some random value from the tree. So in the leaf case, we just return the value of the leaf, and if we have an inner node, we just toss to get a random value and bind this in this function where ether just unpacks this ether type, and depending on it executes the left or right or the first or second value of this, and thus ether executes find toss in the left or the right tree. And yeah, then we have an example tree which is pretty simple with three nodes, and run it on this tree. Run, we just get a random number. It indeed returns every value from the tree.
Eventually, yes. Eventually.
Yes. I ran it off enough. So, yeah. That's this.
Right, so this is a very basic example. I just wanted to make sort of related to this theoretical part. Relation is not very very strong, because if you've seen if you want to fit this probabilistic computation in this framework of categories, then we normally do something like this distribution model. And this is something that we cannot do in Haskell. I just wanted to show you this from these two sides. Precisely because we cannot program random numbers in Haskell. So what we can specify is pen and paper doesn't work for programming. So and the solution by Haskell is to make use of this I/O interface. As I explained, the I/O stands for everything from the outside, it's not just for reading and write. It's for anything that Haskell cannot do. And for example, random numbers. So this you can take a look at the library where this random IO is implemented. And so this is just the most stupid and primitive way to do probabilistic computation. It doesn't require. And the library contains more advanced functions where you can create a random number in generator and then pass this random number generated through recursion and duplicate it, etc. So and that's that would be something more professional, but I just wanted to show the crucial features and the elaboration, basically the site. Okay.
So and the last task, or besides interpreting the results, was to make the list and identity monads instances of gambling, and this just returns as using the exercise sheet for the list monad, we just return both left of the unit type and right unit type, and with the identity monad, just every time it returns left. Or.
Yes, yeah, so did you try to find just with this guys?
Hmm?
So to call the find toss with these instances.
No, I didn't.
Wasn't that some of the exercise?
What?
I don't know, maybe I just forgot, but that wasn't the evidence.
I don't think so. The only thing is that run find toss function by associating M with IO.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, we can do it, can't we?
Yes.
So you just take the same example tree and
yes, so we can say so. Do I have to do the type?
Just type it one. us example tree in GHCI and specify the type you want.
Ah, okay, yeah.
Example tree, I think, was the name.
Yes, it was. We what was it? So this should give how does our tree look? This should return 1. Yes, it does. And yes, can I give this?
Yes. It works, but it's the usual syntax for list types.
That's okay.
Okay. You normally put the in.
Yes.
Yeah. So the moral theory is you can this implement the bridge DOS, but it can behave differently. And basically, it implements various sorts of knowledge and isn't to me. Because it's a binary operation, and you either can have an explicit choice, like with identity, you always take the leftmost. By the way, you could just as well put implement the rightmost, just would need an additional constructor to wrap identity into two different monad classes. And if it's the list monad, it's sort of non-determinism because you collect all the outputs. So that's a way to write a generic function, because find DOS doesn't depend on the concrete implementation. It just makes use of this selection function. Right. Yeah, so it's similar to that example with parsers that I've shown you yesterday, so the use of the lists. Right. Okay, questions to this? So now, about the assignment 4, what do you think about it? Is it too heavy? The curious one, not the one for some today. So there was some question about in standard, right? And we discussed this with some professor yesterday. So it seems like I just forgot to give that standard interpretation. I think basically it was before the time that I was off and I didn't finish something. I thought that Christoph would do it, but Christoph already told that I had done it. So no one then. It's like in this this story about someone, no one, anyone, and I don't know who was this fourth one. It's a story of four guys, someone, anyone. Everyone and no one. The story was like someone thought that anyone would do something.
standard? Standard means that we interpret the strings of the natural language as morphemes. Similar to what we have done before. So we'll just do it like this distinction. If we have a variable, let's say x of type AR, then the result is PR, just PR I. Where gamma is equal to x1, xn, xn. So, right, we interpret variables as morphisms. What sort of morphisms they are? They are just projections. So, you identify this type I. AI and this gamma, so and then the semantics is the is projection, and in particular, so there are some common cases here because projection is like a general word, but sometimes it's not really a projection. It's still a projection, but a strange one. So if we have this thing where gamma is it's just one element, so that the projection is identity. So in this particular case, projection just takes the whole thing, and it's just equal to identity. And if the context is empty, this is the morphism from one. Yes. So it's not really like a projection in this case, it's sort of a generalized projection. A projection that works for empty context and for unary context. If it's not empty and not unary, then projection is just like the standard one. You just take left or right and maybe multiple times. Right, so this is for x, for the variables, and then there are semantics of the application. Of the application of a function symbol to a term. So this is equal to the semantics of f applied to, well, composed with the semantics of f. Right? Because that's our assumption, that we can at least we know how we interpret every given symbol from the signature, and we extend the semantics of a term. So this is the place where we call it.
But in general, t and f of t don't need to have the same type, right? So
what?
F of t would be of type b.
Yeah, sure. So f of t would be of type 1 to b.
So in the left bracket it should be f of t of type e, right?
Yes. Maybe like this. Right. Or yes, yeah. Yeah, and of course, in principle, we have to use the a to b, but the semantics of f as from semantics of a, semantics of b
Because so the things which are postulated is the semantics of the elementary operation from sigma and the semantics of types. And for the types, I think I've given, I'll explain how these brackets are defined. They are just defined for the base types, and then for the rest of the types, you just basically distribute the brackets through the connectivities. But I mean, in principle, this A and bracket A are the different ones. Like, you can have this language and interpret have this language over a post category, like the one which we considered was this closure operator. So you can say, I want to interpret a Haskell program over of a certain syntax over a category which is a partial order. And then your morphism will be interpreted just the same. Just every morphism will be sent to the star, and so the types will also be sent to the object of the category. So this is the semantics can be non-trivial and not expected one. So what else is here? Okay, good. So there are the standard things like projections. So we have a projection. So the semantics is projections and we prepare as pairs. So we prepare pairs as pairs. No, sorry, I said nonsense. So this is not possible. Nobody told me. So this is not possible, of course, because variable must be in the context of the picture, so this wouldn't be drivable. And of course, this morphism doesn't exist because there is no unique morphism on the unit element. Element and the grammar, so the interpretation is like this. So that's unique, of course, because there is unique morphism to one to the type. What else? I think this was it. So the rest I've given. So this was not interesting part. But the interesting one is I discussed extensively. So we've got the eta of A applied to the semantics of one's composed to the semantics of T. A. Right, and so when that's the standard, what I call the standard semantics. So this exercise, this expressivity theorem contains a non-standard one, so we assume that we do not necessarily have a monad, so we do not necessarily have eta. So we take some phi and split psi. But if it's standard, it just means that psi of f is equal to eta f. So the standard psi and phi are the ones which, well, very close size like this, and phi, I'll just leave it. So maybe the types are not quite correct, so it's RPC and over. A, so this is A, and this is A. So which means that the standard phi of F G is essentially equal to so we take F and T. So that's these are the standard ones. So what this theorem is saying is that even if you don't necessarily have a monad, but there is a semantics with some finer psi, but this semantics satisfies the monad laws, then you do have a monad. And you get the extract the monad structure from well, essentially you extract it from phi psi, right?
I mean, it was a little bit confusing because I think in the concrete case, of course, you give phi psi and prove the monad laws and then have a strong monad. But for the expressivity, phi and psi seem to be completely irrelevant. I mean, you have the interpretation of eta, theta, and so on. And I mean, you needed to prove the semantic equality two terms that are equal in the monotone. And I don't think you need pi and psi for that.
But you need them for one of the two terms.
Yeah. I mean, I think you can't really work with them because you know, don't know the definition, the precise definition. You only know that it's somehow the interpretation of return and do, but you also know that eta and star are interpretations of return and do, so you can work with these. And you know laws for these, you don't know any laws for psi.
Well, yeah. The way I did it was basically I said, well, phi and psi are precisely these two things,
yeah.
And then I said, okay, the interpretation of return, for example, is then phi of something, and then basically I translated it
you could have used the definition of eta right away.
So this
that way it was just a matter of plugging the correct functions in, and this way you had to somewhat see okay which combination of eta I mean for the return part it's easy to see, but I don't think it's that easy. Just for the view
So this statement contains like an intermediate fact which is not proven, like we have discussed it yesterday. So proving the expressivity theorem amounts to two directions, showing that you need one, and so by the way the arrows are in the wrong direction. So showing that you need one, you need two are sound if t is a monad and phi and psi are chosen centrally. So this is like something that you can show equivalent because yeah, so expressivity theorem says something else. I reformulate this differently, but this reformulation is not trivial. But for the sake of the exercise, you can just use this amount, this reformulation, because I think this is easier then. Right?
Mm.
No, you don't agree with that. So I wanted you just to use this reformulation, which I summarized in the bottom. So to show one direction, it suffices. So, did you show the soundness? You show that the monad most is satisfied with the standard semantics, and you don't need to involve phi and psi at all because I say it's standard. So, phi and psi are like this.
Yeah, but the theory itself doesn't say anything about what phi and psi really are.
Well, it claims equivalence. So yes. In one direction, it doesn't. You don't know it. You assume them, and you say that they satisfy certain laws, and then you deduce star and eta and strength out of them. So since they are postulated, you don't know what they are. You just know their properties.
Exactly.
Yes.
But in this case, the properties are, they are chosen standardly.
Well, because it's the other direction of the theorem, right? Because the theorem says equivalence.
No, I mean, you have this one direction where you are given some correspondences by psi.
Yes.
And need to prove that you get a strong monad when the monad is possible.
Yes.
And in this case, you shouldn't know anything about phi and psi, in particular not that they are chosen standardly, or maybe...
Yes, but that's another direction, so that's just the arrows messed up. So one direction is that if the monopoles are sound, then the monad is defined, and the other direction, if the monad is defined, then the semantics is sound, and that doesn't involve quantum psi because as quantum psi we take the standard one. That's just the simplicity.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. In the other direction, we can pick R by psi.
So in the other direction, you will construct the monad from phi and psi, and it says how to do it. So the theorem specifies this eta and star and tau are equal to this, and this is from the is deducible from the five upper primes. So to make sense of this. Expressions, you just call the semantics, which is parameterized by phi and psi. So if you really uphold this, it would be parameterized by phi and psi.
Okay.
So can we do at least some part of this exercise, maybe? So I realized that it's, in the end, this is not so easy. Although the point of this exercise was simplified, but I didn't really manage to find an appropriate form for that because so proving this notation is usually much easier. The thing is, when I formulate it as a precise theorem, then it doesn't do so. So, let's maybe try to repeat the soundness part. So the soundness part would mean that the monad poles are satisfied with these definitions. Yeah, okay, so in the end, probably exercise 2 is harder than exercise 1, or not? Which one is harder? You know? So, what about Hans-Peter? What about trying to prove the exercise 1?
Yeah.
As far as we can go. So maybe just do the one of the unit laws because they use super.
Okay. So we're now in the direction where we have a model and need to prove soundness of the laws. So,
Okay, sounds of the unit flow should be really easy, I think.
Okay, so let's do the first unit law, which states that this equation in context holds. So two. So we first execute P and then return the result should be equal to just executing P. So to show that this is sound, we need to put semantic brackets around this part and this part, and the equality should still hold. So we do this. Now we need to transform that. So, what's the right approach now? Should I substitute the definition of blue? Or...
Well, you just unfold and calculate the semantics using the definition which I just given, but with standard prime psi. Because the sound is okay. X here.
Okay. So we can use phi here.
You can immediately use the the expression because phi is is concrete. Yes.
That was G star. So G is our P in this case.
No, G is not X.
Oh, G is the second argument. So yeah, of course. So we use red X and.
And then there's the semantics of P, but maybe we just abbreviate it because it doesn't change anywhere, so we can just take some letter like W for it.
Okay.
Yes.
So we could unfold this one. Which gets us eta. Yes. Thank you.
And now we know that this is just a projection.
Yes.
So we, I mean, if we associate this with Russia, then we can use projection 2 or projection N.
That's projection 2.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, if you see that as concatenations.
Yeah, that's a bit the important part here, because in the rest of the calculation we use gamma as a whole. So like tau returns a pair, it works with a pair gamma A. So here actually it's the second projection. So you can assume that the brackets are indeed like associated to the left.
Yeah.
So when we write something like x, y, z, so the brackets are like this, and then if you want to project to the left component, it's always the projection 2, because these are all one unit.
So this is one of the monad laws. We have eta composed with f star should just be f. Df, I mean. In the
that's maturity of eta, or what? No.
No. In the natural definition of monads, we had that Df was defined as eta.
Yes, so this is T.
And we need this representation of monads, I guess, because tau makes use of it.
Yeah.
So
this is T projection, right?
Yes. T projection. And now maybe it's finally time to draw a diagram.
Well, not necessarily. I think we can just use the equation.
Okay.
So what was the equation?
And I think I had trouble with this diagram because it states the following. We have 1 times.
So I just came on wall like this, so
yeah.
So that's the wall, it must have appeared as a diagram. Right?
Okay.
So and you just match it with and you've got the second projection. So you can draw it as a diagram.
The interesting part is that in our scripts and Wikipedia and so on, we always had this diagram, I guess. So we take the
take cross TA.
Tau here?
TA.
TA, yes. Cross. TA, and take, use tau here, and we have this. And in this direction, we use just the second projection, and in this direction use T of the second projection, and this commutes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
And I don't understand why there is a 1 and not any object.
Because this is cool. Alright, so I can show quickly that the this is probably the one that I mentioned as a lecture, because it's a separate one, and you can prove a more general one. So, okay, so if you have some B, A.
Yeah.
That there is a morphism here, which is just Vanny times AD. So this is PR2.
Yes.
And So here you would have CV times A tau, and here CID by the derivative of tau.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so that was probably the missing step. But then, I mean, you can use this diagram here because you have the types. Just to substitute gamma for B in this diagram, and composing tau with PR2 gives us just PR2, and then the rest is. PR2 times ID W.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I agree. It's not entirely true, but it's false. But it is.
No, it isn't entirely natural.
It is not natural. It's natural.
No, it is natural.
I think it's natural. It's not natural. Okay. Or, so tomorrow.